621, 1320 WILS. Well, the latest Gallup poll finding President Trump with a 37% approval rating. Believe it or not, Ronald Reagan's approval rating was actually lower at one point in his presidency. And my next guest has some advice for President Trump. John Heibusch joins us. He's the executive director of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and also an author of the new novel, The Shroud Conspiracy. John, great to have you on WILS.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Good to be here.
Yeah, and how do you end up working for the foundation? Do you have to have some connections with the Reagans? Or?
Yeah, well, Mrs. Reagan needs to call you when you're on the beach. That's what happened with me. But I actually worked in Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill for the whole Reagan presidency and helped the Reagan administration get its defense budget passed each year on the House side. So a good bit of experience during the Reagan years certainly helped.
Yeah. And you note that his approval rating went down to 35% at one point. How did he feel about that at the time?
Well, it certainly wasn't a nice feeling. It was, if you might recall, maybe you're too young, but there was that double dip recession. We had the recession that the president certainly entered into when he came into office, which was just terrible. I mean, you know, people talk about Obama being handed a hot potato. Ronald Reagan had, you know, faced everything from double-digit inflation rates, interest rates, home mortgage rates, unemployment, you name it. It was a terrible economy and a terrible mess. And what happened was the economy started to pick up a little bit in the first year in the Reagan presidency, and then it just dropped back down again. And in January of 82, the president experienced, as you said, really the lowest approval rating of his entire presidency.
Now, that didn't remain the case. In fact, it went up dramatically. What was the key to him recovering the approval rating?
Fulfilling his promises, really. President Reagan spent not just his first 100 days, but his first year in office paving the way for some of the dramatic changes that he was able to help bring to the government and to the economy, and everything from historic tax reductions and the cutting of the number of tax rates, the cutting of the rates themselves.
Yeah. And we hear from economists that say, we just heard from one yesterday that said, look, that actually led to the debt increasing, that tax cut. What's your thought on that?
Well, I was on the House Budget Committee staff, and I'm pretty mindful of the fact that it's not only tax increases or tax changes in any way that have to start with the House of Representatives, it's also the Congress that spends money. So what happened in the Reagan years was President Reagan cut back dramatically on the taxes, and that's not what created higher deficits. What created higher deficits is that the Congress wouldn't go along with his deficit-cutting plans. So as he increased defense spending, the Congress, against President Reagan's wishes, continued to spend through the roof on domestic discretionary spending and refused to do anything to try and get a hold of entitlements. And as a result, the deficits increased as well.
Yeah. You think we'd see the same dynamic nowadays if we were to pursue this tax cut?
Yeah, I do. I just think it's human nature. If there's anything that members of Congress and the Senate want to do, it's get reelected. So it's easy to vote for tax cuts, but when it comes to reforming and actually having to make changes, substantive changes, reforms that might lead to cuts in entitlement programs, everyone always seems, not everyone, but a majority seems to head for the hills. And that's the dynamic you see president after president, Congress after Congress.
John Heibusch with us, executive director of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. He's the author of the new novel, The Shroud Conspiracy. When I should note that I had Michael Reagan on the show last year before President Trump became the president. I asked him if his father, Ronald Reagan, would have endorsed Donald Trump. He said no. What do you make of that?
You know, it's really tough, and especially hypotheticals like that. I mean, you know, here we are 35, 40 years later, I can't put words in President Reagan's mouth, nor can anyone else.
Well, let me ask you this. What kind of advice do you imagine Ronald Reagan giving Donald Trump today?
Well, I'll go even one better than that. It's not the advice that President Reagan would give. Actually, interestingly enough, it's just let's stand here and look at the first 100 days, and you can see what advice it is that Donald Trump has taken from Ronald Reagan. Literally, I mean, the Trump agenda in the first 100 days has been the Reagan agenda in the first 100 days. They just literally have taken pages right out of the Reagan playbook. If you just look at this most recent tax reduction and reform plan, that's Ronald Reagan. If you look at his increase in defense spending, same thing.
So,
if you look at his...
But in terms of the actual results, what do you think is the difference? Why was President Reagan able to move legislation more effectively?
Well, I think, you know, to be honest about it, I don't even think you can use the word effectiveness and compare the two right now, because Ronald Reagan didn't pass his tax reform bill in the first 100 days. Mm-hmm. He was smart enough to spend the entire year paving the way for it, and it took a year for him to put that in place. And I don't think we should have expectations that Donald Trump is going to, you know, complete all of his campaign promises in the first 100 days. And, you know, it may take a couple of years. And these artificial deadlines are, you know, they're worth the paper they're written on.
What can President Trump learn from Ronald Reagan in the way he communicates? What is it he can do to improve things?
First, I think we just have to remember, again, we're living in different times, and there are technologies at Donald Trump's disposal that weren't at Ronald Reagan's disposal. There was no such thing as tweets back then. Ronald Reagan had to use the limited media he had at his disposal in the way of three networks, a cable TV show, and newspapers and magazines. And he, you know, he used them effectively to reach over the heads of Congress. Remember, he didn't have a majority in the House of Representatives, mm-hmm. and he reached over the media's head to get straight to the people and got them to get behind his plan, and that's what forced members of Congress to vote for his package. In Trump's case, it's very different.
You think Ronald Reagan would be tweeting if he were president today, then?
No, I don't. I just don't think it's his style. I mean, he was a smart enough politician to use technology and to use every means he could to succeed. Right. But I think he was in this matter, I think he was a much more disciplined politician, a much more disciplined communicator, and he knew how to use all the various levers at his disposal strategically, tactically, when they needed to be used, providing consistent messages. Things that just aren't happening today.
Certainly came with a lot more experience, too. Less than a minute, but your book, The Shroud Conspiracy, I'm amazed you have time to write along with your job. What's this book all about?
Well, it's going to be, I promise this to your listeners, if you pick it up, it's called The Shroud Conspiracy. It's going to be one of the most exciting books you've ever read. It's about a brilliant atheist who's a forensic anthropologist who sets out to prove that the Shroud of Turin, the burial cloth of Jesus Christ, is a fake. And in the process of trying to prove that, he encounters a lot of surprises, and it changes his life in many ways.
It's John Heibusch, Executive Director of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. The book is The Shroud Conspiracy. John, thank you.
Absolutely. Happy to be with you.
I'll be right back.